This is URN.
So, today's topic is body image and the media, and I've got the wonderful Liv and the wonderful Anna, and we're going to talk about our own experiences, and also just how the media portrays specifically women, and how a lot of the time it's an issue of being objectified and women purely being just bodies, and that's it. I would like to say every single person thinks about it. It's something that I don't think anybody can escape. And so I'll lead in with you, and I'll start with Anna. Yeah. How's your relationship been with body image? And has it always been positive, or do you feel like it's been something that you've been concerned about?
I would love to stand here and say that body image isn't something that bothers me. I think I always try and be that person who empowers other people, and no matter what shape or size you are, like, beauty isn't defined by what you look like. And I'm a massive believer in that when it comes to anyone who isn't myself.
Yeah.
And it's so hypocritical, and it makes me feel like a really guilty feminist. I've heard that is the way to describe that. And if anyone else, any of my friends, no matter what they look like, were complaining that they didn't feel beautiful, like, they're my friends and I love them, and I truly think every single one of them is gorgeous for different reasons, whether that's the way they look or the way they act. And it would be genuinely my last concern in terms of, like, a romantic partner or a friend. Like, it doesn't... What someone looks like to me is so much less important than how they act. And to me, beauty really, really isn't what someone looks like. But I do personally really struggle with body image. I don't think it's something like a big secret. I think it's something everybody knows. I think I'm quite vocal about it. A lot of it, I think, comes from social media.
Yeah.
And the people around you, whether that's in a good way or a bad way. So sometimes, you know, I'll see people and I'll be like, oh, they're so beautiful. And then you turn it in on yourself. And I think that's the awful thing about it with social media and people you know, is it's really hard to acknowledge someone's beautifulness. Beauty, there we go, without turning it in on yourself. So you can't, personally really struggle to look at someone and say, oh, she's gorgeous for this reason, without thinking, oh, but I don't have that. Or I'll think, this person's Instagram is amazing and look how great she looks in that. If I wore that, I wouldn't look great. And I really struggle to differentiate between she looks great, but that doesn't mean I don't, kind of thing. So for me, it's sort of like it's a massive circle. Like, if someone looks great, then I turn that on myself, and then it's like the two can't exist together.
I think that's such a curse, and I think I'm the same, and I'd say a lot of people are, in the sense that genuinely in their hearts believe that everybody is so beautiful and would never say a bad word about anybody else's body. And I know, as one of my friends, if I ever said, oh, I don't really feel like I look great today, you'd be the first to jump to my defense. Mm-hmm. And go, you look incredible, don't yeah. even talk about it. Yeah. And I think I'm the same with making sure that you make sure your friends feel great, but then
you neglect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And what really hit home there about what you were saying is it was a quote, I believe, that Eleanor Roosevelt said, and it was comparison is the thief of joy.
Oh, that's so true.
And so you look at other people and you compare yourself, despite the fact that I'm not 6 feet tall or tiny, whatever it is that your perfect image is. It doesn't have to be what the media tells you your perfect mm-hmm. image is. And the other thing that was really interesting, I'm not sure about you two, but it was never a case, I never wanted to look like the girl in the magazine. I never wanted to look like the model that was walking down the runway, because I knew that was unattainable. I knew that photos were photoshopped. I knew that they didn't eat. I knew that I wasn't a model. But I wanted to look like some of the girls in my class.
That is so something I relate to.
Yeah.
I think when people think about social media or even the media and body image, it's always magazines. And I think it's something that our generation has been really lucky with, is that, like, I remember being in year five, so I think you're 9 or 10 when you're yeah. in year five, and we had a whole, like, a week, like, a project about photoshopping, and, well, it wasn't necessarily just about photoshopping, but it was about the way newspapers warped things. So it started off, we were talking about, it was something to do with our World War II topic, I believe, and it was about how a headline had been put out by different media forms, and it was all about, you know, the teachers are encouraging us to write our own things, and then our teacher sort of turned that into, you know, and pictures aren't always what they seem, and I don't know if that's something that she had planned to talk about or if it was something that she just personally agreed with. But so since such a young age, I was aware that, like, the pictures you see in a magazine aren't the same as the pictures that were actually taken. And also that isn't my kind of, like, I think those women are beautiful, but that's not my preferred kind of beauty. So they were never the people that I beat myself up about not looking like. As you said, it was the girls I knew, like the girls in my class, the girls I was friends with, the girls in the years above.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my god, they're so beautiful. I was always much closer to home.
I would always completely, like, agree with that. I think, though, at university, for me, it's kind of slightly shifted. I think when I was at secondary school and primary school, I was always very self-conscious of, like, body image and what I looked like, and was comparing myself a lot more. And I think since coming to uni, I've kind of... I don't know if it's because there's a more diverse range of people at uni, and it seems less like you're under a microscope all the time. But I feel like, and also probably gaining a lot of self-confidence as well since getting to uni has probably helped an awful lot. But I think I've become more accepting of myself, maybe. That doesn't mean to say that it doesn't mean that I don't compare myself to other people, because I still do, but I think it tends to bother me less now.
Yeah, I think certainly that was something I was going to bring up. I feel like it's a lot less of an issue now for me at uni. I've been quite lucky in the sense that I think, like any teenage girl or any teenager in general, you go through the phase of, I don't like this about my body, I'm not really sure about this, I wish I looked like her. I never went through a massive patch that I know a lot of my friends did about really, really hating their bodies. I've never hated my body. I've thought about, yeah, I'd prefer if this bit was bigger or this bit was smaller or this bit wasn't covered in stretch marks or whatever it may be. But I never went through a really bad patch. But certainly coming to uni, I think potentially just the way I look, I've become a lot less bothered by it. In the sense that I'm not always... Yeah, I do wear makeup, I enjoy it, but I'm not always in it. I'm not always really bothered about, oh, we need to dress up for this, dress up for that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's necessarily a university thing, or maybe that we're all a little bit older and therefore a little bit more comfortable.
See,
and confident
in ourselves.
I find it
interesting that you guys have said that, because I would say I'm the opposite.
I think
I'm a lot more conscious of it now. I don't think it's something I follow through with as much as I would have if it's something I felt when I was younger. For instance, like, you girls have both seen me in disgusting states. It's like, I will come into uni like not wearing any makeup, like in disgusting clothes. Like, it's not something I would follow through with. I would entertain the ideas, but it's not so... I wouldn't change my life because of the way I think I look. So, like, I wouldn't wake up in the morning and think, you know what, I look a lot better in makeup, I'll put makeup on. I would wake up and think, oh my god, there's 4 minutes till I need to be in uni, let me run out. Like, it doesn't affect my life on a day-to-day basis, but I'm a lot more conscious of how I look now than I think I ever have been before. I think a lot of it is about, like, I was very, very confident all through school and sixth form. I would say I'm still confident now, but I think it's just a shift of, like, atmosphere, and when you've been somewhere you felt so confident, and, like, you know, the whole
big fish little pond,
and then it's the opposite. So I think that threw it. And then, you know, I think in terms of relationships and stuff, I was always in a relationship throughout school and sixth form, and I think there was something that my friends probably didn't, well, throughout sixth form, not school, but I think that's something that when my friends were, you know, panicking about their bodies in terms of what boys or girls or whoever thought about them, that wasn't something I had in the same way. So I think I skipped that phase, and it's more something I have now than then. That's the only reason I can think why it's so different for me, but I guess it's something that does hit different people at different stages of their lives.
I think I do agree with you, and I think, like, I'm not saying that I don't still compare, because I do. I think...
Oh, I certainly still do.
I think it's just that I feel like I've kind of just accepted it, in a sense that, like, I think it, and then I'm like, well, there's nothing actually that I'm going to realistically do to change that, or can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you may as well just accept what you've got and work with that, if that makes any sense.
Exactly.
At all.
That's my attitude towards it. That's what I mean when I said I wouldn't change it. Like, you know, there's different things that I know you could exercise more and, like, change your body shape, things like that, but then I wouldn't change the way my life works to do those things. And, like, I'm not the kind of person who's naturally skinny girl. Like, I could make myself unhealthy and make myself that way, but that it would just be detrimental to my whole life, and that it's not something that bothers me. But then I guess I do make compromises. So, like, in terms of clothes, there are clothes I would look at in the shop and be like, oh, I wish I could wear that, and never be able to wear. And I know that, but I think rather than it being a sad thing for me, that is more just, as you said, working with what you've got. Like, I don't wear short sleeve things, I wouldn't wear strapless things ever. Like, I just don't feel comfortable with, like, my shoulders, arms. Like, that's just not something I would do, but I don't at all. I don't know. I think it's sad in terms of, like, I wish I could buy these clothes, but it's not something I resent. It's more just me thinking, you know, if that's not something that looks good on me, I just won't wear it. And I think there's two ways of looking at body image, and you can either think, this is what I've got and it might not be what I like, but I'm going to work with it anyway, or there's a much darker side of, you know, this is what I look like and I hate it and I'm going to change it and I'm going to make myself unhealthy if that's what it takes. Like, I'm going to power through and change the way I look, and that's, thank goodness, not something I've ever had.
So that brings us to the topic of cosmetic surgery. So a study recently, an MP's report, has said that cosmetic surgery rates have risen nearly 20% since 2008, so 10 years. And it's something that I've joked around with my friends, and I think I've actually had a chat with you two about it, just sort of offhandedly, casually. I always joke, I've got a very small chest. I'm very small, up top, small but perfectly formed, or something like that. And somebody jokingly told me once, you're like, oh, you could always get a boob job. And I could now, student loan would not cover it. But I went, actually, no, I might complain about it, but it's more of just a jokey complaint. Mm-hmm. I'd never follow through with it because I think that would be me giving into what society's perfect body is.
Yeah.
And I'd never actually do it. And so I'd be really interested to see what you two think about cosmetic surgery and what your opinion is, because I'm very much of the opinion that if somebody wants to go and do that, that's absolutely fine. If that makes you more comfortable, that makes you more confident as a person, that's brilliant for you. But I don't think I could ever justify having it, because I always say that how you naturally are, if you're healthy, is the way that you want to look. And so I feel quite conflicted about it.
I have really mixed feelings about cosmetic surgery, because I feel like you look at people, for example, the Kardashians, like, they don't make it a secret that they've had a lot of cosmetic surgery, or some of them anyway. And for me, I don't always think it's a good role model, because I feel like it does make it seem like you have to change the way you look.
Mm.
But then at the same time, you could argue that it's promoting, like, if you can, like, that cosmetic surgery is good for, like, self-confidence and things. But I think, like, for me, it really does just kind of... I think it's because, personally, I would never get cosmetic surgery, because I wouldn't really want to change myself, because that's who I am and it's how I was born.
Mm.
But if there's something that someone's really, really conscious about, then, like, I don't know, then I don't think you can stop them getting cosmetic surgery. And, like, there's things that, like, I've been really, really conscious about, like, I don't know, like, I've got very pale skin and very dark hair, and so sometimes, like, I'm very self-conscious about the fact that you can see my hair on, like, different parts of my body and stuff. And so, like, it's a bit hypocritical of me to say, like, those people can't get cosmetic surgery when I, like, shave my legs and all this, that, and the other all the time, because, and I would never go out without doing that because I feel really self-conscious about it otherwise, you know? Like,
I think it's quite personal.
I think for me, cosmetic surgery is something I wouldn't personally do. I've said about it jokingly a million times, like you said, offhand comments, oh, I could do this, but I personally wouldn't. That's partially a money thing, partially I'd be terrified they'd do it wrong. I'm a bit of a control freak in that way. So it's something that for me I've never genuinely considered and would go through with ever. But I don't know if you two have noticed, or anyone listening, that on Twitter lately there's been such a big increase in girls our age talking about cosmetic surgery. And it's something I didn't, like, see addressed at first, but I was scrolling down my timeline and 3 times in 1 week I saw girls tweeting about their nose jobs, and then I, like, not really made a connection with it. And then I was reading an article, potentially even on the chat tab, that had made, like, the correlation, said, oh my god, all these girls are suddenly talking about nose jobs and whatever. And I think this is something that relates back to the celebrities we're seeing, like the Kardashians, who, you know, I think it's great they're not lying, that they're saying, yep, we've had this work done,
being
we don't like
and
it and I think that is great. And I think it's great to see women in the media who are saying, yeah, I don't like this about my body either, it's fine, but now I've done this and I love it, kind of thing. It depends which way you take it. You can either take that as, yeah, you know, all these people, it's not weird for me to not like my body, everybody has these doubts, but then also it makes you think, you know, do I have to change it because they did.
Thing, but with cosmetic surgery is that it could, I'm like, what is it, like, it's like a bit of a futuristic thought, but I'm worried that then if society has, like, one general idea of what beauty is, which I think a lot of people do have a similar idea, which is, like, tends to be, like, smaller nose and bigger lips and this, that and the other, that, like, if people suddenly start getting cosmetic surgery all the time to make themselves fit this idea of beauty, that people are all just going to start looking freakishly
it's
similar.
Very dystopian, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think, like, one of the things that I've always thought about cosmetic surgery is what was beautiful in the 90s is so not what's beautiful now.
This is something
and
I was going to bring up.
What was beautiful in the 50s is a lot more similar to what's beautiful now. So, for example, like, big bums. If you watch 90s chick flicks, they're all like, oh my god, does my bum look big in this? Now girls are like, yeah, I'm going to buy a padded pants from Primark to make my bum look big. Like, it's something that changes non-stop. In, like, the 40s, 50s, it was really, really popular for women to be really curvaceous, and that's a lot more similar to what's seen as being beautiful now. Like, the whole tiny waist, massive bum, massive hips, like, it changes a lot. And whereas the 90s was much more like really tall, really skinny, very up and down women, which is, to me, just as beautiful. I think both women are beautiful, like both kinds. But I think it's a really big gamble, like the Kardashians with their bum implants, for example, to go all out on doing things like that, or like lip enhancers. Because in 10 years, that might so not be what society sees as being beautiful. So if you're going to get cosmetic surgery, in my opinion, it has to be for you. And you can't do it because this is what society
thinks. You feel like you want to fit in.
Yeah, it can't be to fit the societal version of beauty. It has to be because it's for you.
So this is something I was going to bring up with the changing views of, like, the perfect woman. And so there's been a video that's gone around on Facebook, and I'm sure around Twitter as well, of the perfect woman since 1920, say. Or actually, I think they've done one since the Egyptians.
I think I've seen one since, like, ancient Greece
or
something.
Yeah. And so it's if you have a chance, anyone, do have a look at it. If you just Google it, it'll come up. And it's just the amount of different things that just absolutely... completely changed, even within the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And actually saying that clearly all types of women are very, very beautiful because over time they've been the epitome of the perfect woman.
Yeah.
And just because right now your body type doesn't fit in with that, there's not anything wrong with you.
Yeah, it seems... Everyone thinks beauty is a timeless thing, and I think there's forms of classical beauty, or what's seen as being classical beauty, that is timeless. But beauty is such a phase and, like, a coming and going thing. But even within the current age, like, there's a lot of women in my life who look completely different, but I would still say are, like, the people I would love to look like, and I think they're all equally beautiful. I couldn't rate them against each other, even if I would want to, which I wouldn't. And they all look completely different. So who... There might be an overarching view of society's, like, what we find beautiful, but then think about celebrities who are known for being absolutely beautiful. So you've got, like, Mila Kunis and then, like, you know, Kim Kardashian and then Dua Lipa or something. They all look very different again.
So what I wanted to talk about was I went to a girls' school and I felt just as much that there was a pressure on how you looked. I felt just as much of an issue with... looking at when I develop stretch marks, having a look at them going, well, I really don't like those, and feeling really not great about them and wanting to choose swimsuits that covered them, despite the fact that my friendship group was all girls, despite the fact that I wasn't looking to gain a romantic partner. It was a case of, and then I think, I can't remember who said something, maybe an older family member or a family friend or something along those lines, said, well, You don't need to worry because you've got no boys around. And I sort of went, well, that's not it. I don't really care that there are no boys around. And it's a case of I'm not sure about you guys, but when I get a compliment from a girl, I automatically feel like that is a more valid compliment.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And it's potentially a guilty feminist thing, but
I feel like for me, I think girls can be more critical about body image than guys, I think, because they think about it more.
See, yeah. I think it's more exposed to women, for sure. So I think, for example, you know, a very common thing for female celebrities to do, for example, on Instagram, is a whole bikini pic, or like,
yes,
MUA, like, makeup done by so-and-so, and like, you look at their perfect faces, in inverted commas, and you think, oh my god, like, why is this not me? Whereas I don't think there's quite the male equivalent of that for men. Fair enough, there's the whole, like, body
gym lad
thing is a big thing, but I don't think there's the equivalent exposition to it.
I think body image can be, I'm not saying it's not an issue for guys, it very much is. I think maybe and maybe girls are just more vocal, I don't know, but and maybe we talk about it more, but I feel like it's
like seen as being a girl image, isn't it?
Yeah.
A girl problem.
Like, yeah. Which maybe isn't necessarily a good thing. Like,
no.
Like, I was talking to a couple of the guys that I live with, and actually, for them, height is an issue.
Yeah. I was actually having a conversation with someone about this yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember my mum saying to me when I was really young, because I'm small, and she was like, thank God you're a girl, because you would struggle if you were a boy. And I'd been like, oh, like, what? Like, you see small guys, like, it doesn't bother me. And then I was talking to a couple of my friends who are guys, and they're like, they're not even short. They're like reasonably short. They're not tiny. And for them, that was like a really, they hate it. Like, they find it a really big thing. You know, there's a whole stigma of like guys on Tinder and putting their heights in their bios.
Yes.
It's like, for them, that is beauty.
So I've had a chat with guys before, and they've gone, well, do you mind? Do you find that guy attractive? And a couple of my friends have gone, well, he is over 6 foot and all of that. And they're going, just because he's over 6 foot does not make him an attractive man, and all of this. And I completely agree. And it's just sort of this socialized image of what is attractive.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really different, I think, for girls and boys. I think there's like the whole, I think size is something that's like universal, but then I think, you know, whereas like we might worry about our eyebrows, they might worry about their height.
Yeah, but in the case that certainly eating disorders is an issue across the board, I think recently there's been a lot more of a push to actually see it as men get eating disorders as well. Men have bulimia, men have anorexia, despite the fact, and it's seen as a sort of girly, inverted commas, disease to have, and it's almost embarrassing for a boy to have anorexia, even though they're just as susceptible. But I'm not sure if you've had this, talking to maybe boyfriends or friends that are men, just sort of, I was complaining about my stretch marks, and they turned around and went, I don't care. Like, what? Like, it doesn't make a difference. Like, 98% of girls have stretch marks, or 98% of, they're like, that's something that you worry about. Yeah. And they sort of, or something along the lines of like, oh, I'm feeling really like a bit big today, or all of this, and they cut time. What? Like, you're actually, that's something that you're genuinely always thinking about. And yeah, and I think it's something that plays on our mind all the time.
I think maybe body image isn't like more of a problem for girls maybe then, or for boys necessarily. I think it's just that we obsess perhaps about different things. So, and sometimes like it's not things that the other kind of
considers,
you know. So like,
yeah,
for
so
me, like,
don't think to like maybe monitor what they're saying, because
yeah, I like, for me, like, I was conscious about stretch marks that I'd got, but then like, I don't know, but like for guys,
but they're not gendered, not, guys get stretch marks as
yeah,
well,
yeah, exactly. But for guys, they, for them, it, or I don't want to like generalize, but so it tends to be that it's less of an issue for them. Like,
I think especially a lot of boys get stretch marks when they grow.
Heights, yeah.
So like,
or lose weight,
legs,
or,
backs, yeah, whatever, same places we would maybe get them, but that's because they've gone up. Whereas girls tend to get them
out,
because we've gone out, and that's not a bad thing. That's because our bodies grow differently, like in puberty and stuff. Like, girls get more curvy, and girls' boobs grow, and girls' bums grow, whereas guys just shoot up. And it's a completely different thing our bodies do because of the different hormones. Like, it's biologically different. So it's obvious that our, like, the stretch marks, the places we stretched in, are biologically different as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think maybe that is why boys see it differently. And then obviously, if you link that into the whole thing that boys grade beauty on height, like, if they've got stretch marks because they've grown, maybe they're not going to resent that quite so much as us thinking, oh, we've gone out and that's not what beauty is, so therefore stretch marks are horrible.
I don't want to keep linking this back to the Kardashians, but I guess they are quite a big...
They're quite prevalent.
Yeah, they are a very big popular culture icon at the moment. And there was an episode, and I think it's one where Kourtney was pregnant, and I've not seen the entire episode. It was just, like, something that I'd seen on Instagram. And in this, like, kind of, like... 30-second clip or whatever.
Is it the, oh my god, you've got a stretch mark?
Yeah, and Kim makes it out to be this, like, big problem. She's like, I was nearly going to cry for you. Like,
as if we've gone World War III, yeah.
As if, like, it was a really, really big issue.
Classic.
And I was kind of, like, sat there watching it a bit like, hold on a minute, like, how can these people not have stretch marks, like, already? Like, she was saying that she didn't have any, and I was like, fair enough if you're not, but, like, I've got stretch marks. I know loads of people who've got stretch marks.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it out to be... something that's wrong.
I mean,
with,
we do have to remember this is the same woman who sobbed when she dropped her earring in the ocean.
Yeah, she is quite an overreactive.
But I completely get that. It's like, well, why don't these women have all the problems I have? Which I think is the only good thing
it's
about
comparison.
The Kardashians saying, you know, yeah, we've had all this work done.
But
I think that's a good thing, because they're saying, yeah, we didn't like how we looked either. But it's the ways of dealing with it.
So the thing with social media is editing. And have either of you ever edited a photo for online that's not been a filter?
No.
Have you ever used an editing app or anything?
No.
So I haven't either, but I was talking to some of my friends, and they've said, oh yeah, you use like a blurring tool or something along that. It's not sort of talking like major Photoshop that you'd look at on a magazine. But
well, you see girls, like, you see on Twitter where a girl will post a picture or something, and then someone will quote tweet, you're like, oh my god, look how she's photoshopped her way smaller, and then she knows she's forgotten that it's going to blur the background. And it's like, there's a massive stigma around doing it, but then why are these girls feeling they have to do it?
Exactly. And she'd be given a hard time. She posted the photo and she didn't look how she did when she was photoshopped.
Yeah.
And I got told this, that some people were editing their photos that weren't in sort of the public eye, and I was really shocked by this. I was like, you guys actually, what? You guys do this? And they were like, yeah, loads of people do it. And I was like, okay. And it wasn't a case of like, oh, I should be doing this. I was just like, well, that's absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
And I think it was just really, I was just sort of really like sad by it.
Yeah, it's
in the
sad
case that I have social media for keeping in touch with friends and sharing photos with my friends and people that I know, And so they know what I look like in person. It's a case of if I start editing photos, I just don't look like that.
See, this is a big thing I've had lately, and this is it's very personal, like, I don't think everyone gets this, I don't know. I get it before nights out, so I will sit there and I will, like, no, I'm not going because I look ugly or I look fat.
I've done that,
Like, I'm talking every single week to the point where, like, I've questioned not going out on nights out because I know I'm just going to get...
When that happens, you give me a call, Miss Lambert. I'm getting you out.
But then, like, I've been talking to people about it. I was talking to, like, my current boyfriend about it, and he was like, he couldn't comprehend because he was like, the people you're going out with know what you look like.
They're your best friends.
Why has it changed in the last half an hour? Like, you saw them 10 minutes ago, you've come home to get changed, and you've decided you're too ugly to see them again. Like, how does this work? And I think that is just such a different thing for girls, is like putting on a different outfit, and how you look in that one outfit could change everything you feel about yourself.
If I feel like I look good on a night out, I genuinely think I'd be so much more relaxed.
Yeah, you have more fun.
And I'll have more fun. But isn't that absolutely bizarre? If I feel like, yeah, I look good tonight, and I'll have
the
more
amount
fun.
Of times I've joked,
I won't hide from,
like,
photos,
no,
anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And, like, the amount of times I've, like, half jokingly, half seriously said, oh, I wish we could all just go out in our pyjamas. But then, like, you think about it, and
let's all go out in our pyjamas.
Think I would have so much more fun because I would not care about what I look like. Or on nights, you know, when I'm just wearing, like, jeans and a t-shirt, and I've worn it a billion times, and, like, I don't feel like it's showing off the things I hate.
About, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I truly feel like I can let myself go more. Whereas if I'm wearing an outfit that maybe I feel like if I stand at the wrong angle looks disgusting, it's like you can't quite let yourself go and you can't quite enter into it.
This is like, for me, like, I've found like outfits that I'm comfortable wearing, and then I tend to, like, overwear them because I just, like, stick to those same things, and then
I
get self-conscious about that because I'm like, oh no, but now in, like, all the photos or whenever I go out, everyone just thinks that I have like that I'm just wearing the same thing all the time. But
does anybody care? This is the worry. So we all overthink each of our things, don't we? And I'm not sure anybody's overthinking as much.
I can guarantee that, like, I love you girls, and, like, you know I do. And if you wore an outfit and I thought you looked great in it, I would be the first to tell you.
You haven't kept count of how many times I've worn it.
No, like, I don't think I would notice if you wore an outfit one week and then 2 weeks later you wore the same outfit. I think what I would think is, oh, she looks great. I wouldn't think, oh my god, she wore that 2 weeks ago. Can we believe it? She's rotating the outfit.
I think it's just that we're all so obsessed with how people view us. But we've just got to sort of be sensitive to everybody's certain things and how maybe one of us feels very self-conscious about our weight, or one of us feels more self-conscious about having bad skin or whatever it may be, and everybody has their own thing. And just accepting that it's really normal to have that.
Yeah.
And I think you wanted to talk a bit about, Liv, about your sort of experience with body image and sort of skin condition specifically.
Yeah, so for me I've never been necessarily that bothered about my weight. Or, like, kind of, I guess, the traditional things to do with body image. For me, it was, like, a few years ago. I'd been on holiday, and I was probably about 14, 15, maybe, and I'm quite a pale person, naturally. I came back from holiday with, like, a tan, and I noticed that I had, like, a little bit of, like, my skin that just hadn't tanned at all. It was very, very pale against, like, quite tanned skin. And I was, like, I showed it to my mum, and she was, like, oh. She was, like, I wonder what you've done. She was, like, have you, like, maybe spilt bleach on yourself? And I was, like, would that cause that? And she was, like, I don't know. And then I didn't think much about it, and then I think it was maybe a year later, I think it would have been again 14 or 15, I came back and suddenly I noticed that it had, like, grown the patch, and it was, like, starting to be the same on the other hand. So I went to the doctor, and basically they told me that I'd got this skin condition called vitiligo, and basically there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's completely random. There's no treatment for it apart from, like, camouflage cream.
Okay.
And, like,
so, like, foundation.
Yeah. Which is, like, just really, like, long wear, like, long lasting and stuff. And they were like, we can't, it might slow down, it might speed up, we can't tell you what it's going to do. It's completely random, and it's basically just where, like, the skin pigment, you just don't have skin pigmentation and things like that. It means you're a bit more susceptible to, like, skin cancer as well. But for, like, a teenage girl hearing that, like,
you're
I've really
always
struggled
have
with it,
it yeah.
for, like, quite a while, because, like, I was like, it's, you can't change it, and I'm not the cat. I'm never going to be up in time early enough to put on, like, foundation all over my body in the areas that it affects, because it's just not who I am. And when it's in places that are quite visible, like your hands or your arms, I've had, like, comments where, like, I've been on holiday, come back really tanned, because it tends to be more visible. You can't really tell if I've not been away because I am so pale. Like, stuff like, oh, if you had a spray tan that's gone a bit dodgy, because obviously, like, my skin tone isn't the same everywhere. But I think because there was nothing I could do, I just had to accept it.
Yeah.
And it was a hard thing, I think, to swallow, but I think now I am a lot more confident with it.
It's what the model Winnie Harlow?
Yeah,
I couldn't remember her name. We were talking about her earlier, weren't we?
And so is it something you felt, as you've got older, you've dealt with better, or is it something that still plays on your mind quite a lot?
It's definitely something that I think I've gotten better. It's something that I accept about myself now. It doesn't bother me as much anymore. Even though, I've got it a lot more everywhere. I've carried my skin pigmentation has continued to change as I've gotten older. But I think for me, one of the things that's kind of helped me deal with it is because I'm so pale anyway that actually in the winter months you can't really tell at all. So in some ways, I don't know if I'm necessarily dealing with it better or if I've just not had to deal with it as much.
Okay.
But I know that some people, though, do really, really struggle with it, especially, if they've got quite dark skin and they can be very, very self-conscious. But there's actually, other than disguising it, there's nothing you can do. And I think sometimes in, adverts and stuff, you are, this, it's perfect complexion is complete. It's constantly being thrown at you, and especially if you've got a condition like that, it is unattainable.
So I think what we've learned, and I can't believe it's already been an hour, but it's something that discussing with just you two is that everybody's different, and basically that's okay. And if everybody looked the same, it would be really, really bizarre. Absolutely, it would be concerning, essentially. And actually being okay with not being okay with how your body looks, not being saying, right, okay, if you empower and if you love your body and if you feel brilliant in your own skin, that's amazing. But if you don't, that's okay. Feeling like having a down day where you don't feel great or you feel a bit fat or maybe a scar's playing on your mind or something like that. Having down days about your body is absolutely fine. Just remembering when you're scrolling through social media, every single person, despite the fact that that girl has 400 likes, looks incredible in a bikini and has six packs for days, she also is looking at other people's going, I wish I looked like her, I wish I had what she had. And that every single person, even blooming Angelina Jolie, compares herself to somebody else. And actually just being happy with what you got and just being happy and healthy. And I'm not sure if you two have any closing comments on anything that you feel.
No, I would just completely agree with that.
I would as well, yeah, completely agree.
And I think just knowing that your friend, your boyfriend, whoever it is, or your family, they don't care what size you are or whatever this is. It's okay not to be okay with the way you look. And if you do want to alter it, if you do want to go to the gym to make yourself healthy or whatever this is, that's absolutely fine. And if you want to put makeup on, go for it. And just accepting that if I'm happy, if I'm healthy, my friends are going to love me regardless of what size I am, regardless of what my skin looks like, regardless of what this is. And I think that comes down really key to just girls supporting girls. And boys do come into this a lot, but having a really supportive friendship group of girls, I found, is so, so useful. And if I didn't have the group of girls that I had around me, just occasionally just being like, you look great, just shut up, you're fine. it's so brilliant and supportive. So that was Body Image and the Media. Thank you for joining me, UT. Next week I will be talking to guys. We're allowing men into Feminottingham, everybody.
Great, I completely back that.
Yeah, me too. Well, it was how I wanted to set up Feminottingham, in the sense that I didn't want to exclude 50% of the population, because that is not how you achieve equality. So it's going to be Men on Feminism special next week, and so we're going to be talking all about, there's been a recent thing on buy and sell here at Nottingham about a men's rights society being set up. We're going to be talking about that, and then talking about how they feel about things like positive discrimination, equal pay, and how they are tiptoeing currently in a little bit of a dilemma around feminism and equality. And so tune in next week, 6 p.m. same time. Thank you very much for joining me, and have a brilliant, brilliant Monday evening.